You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast.
What are you listening to right now?
New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts.
Do you even know who Freebird is? You know Freebird.
Do you know why I'm so good at ignoring you?
Tell me.
Because when I was a student pastor, I had to deal with teenagers who had very short attention spans.
Wow. Listen, last time you wanted to hear my show Baraka, this time I'm listening to Freebird. Now
I have no idea.
You have no idea what Freebird is.
Is that a type of bird that you see in the wild?
You have no idea what all right. So do you know the band? Leonard Skinner. Have you ever heard of them?
Leonard Skinner is a band. It's not a person. When did they form? Like 1920?
You are a terrible person. I can't believe you don't even, you don't even have to be around during that era. I think I formed in like 64, but you don't have to be around during the era.
Were you even born?
I was not. You
weren't born. Yeah.
But they were a band in Jacksonville, Florida. All right. You've never heard Sweet Home Alabama. Sweet Home Alabama.
I know Sweet Home Alabama. And
Freebird. Freebird.
They did Sweet Home Alabama?
Yes.
Oh. I only know that from the Reese Witherspoon movie.
Oh my! You know, you heard Ronnie Van Zant. Anyway, you don't know. You know the Reese Witherspoon movie. Oh Lord!
I was looking forward to what you're going to say. That.
Oh my! So you're busy listening to One Direction and Selena Gomez, and so you're not keeping.
No. I only listen to Maranatha and
Maranatha. And is that even around anymore?
And
Maranatha. Maranatha music at a Calvary Chapel. That's like 500 years ago.
All right. So Ed, when you were at Lifeway Research, there is this phrase
I just Googled it. Maranatha music still exists.
Do they really?
Yes.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
It's founded. Of course, I know, you know, Brian Broderson is a good friend. I think you know Brian too. They're doing great stuff now in church planning, Calvary Chapel, Chuck Smith's successor. I feel bad that I didn't know they were still around. I remember them back in the Sweet Comfort Band, and you don't know any of these people.
All right. So let's get to our question. But before we do, Ed, there's this phrase that you always said when you're at Lifeway Research. What was it?
Oh, there's a lot of phrases, not all of which can be shared on the podcast. Some of them is, "Where's Daniel M?"
What was the other one?
Oh, I can't share.
About angels. No, about angels.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say one about Lizette, because I'm like, why is Lizette working for me? Anyway, so another one is, every time I quote a statistic, an angel gets its wings.
All right, so let's see if you say that during this next question.
Hi, this is Peter from Oradell, New Jersey. I'm a bivocational minister. I'm wondering if you had statistics around how long church plants typically last. We don't live in an ideal world. Some churches thrive, others fail. So I was wondering what you guys thought about possibly building lifespan into the model from the very beginning. So for example, when you start a church, from the outset, you say this church will exist for 7 years, for example. And in those 7 years, we're going to accomplish this many things, raise up this many leaders, and spawn up this many churches that will also exist for another 7 years. And the hope is that this would build a network of missional, limited time churches in a community that will spread. If church plants really are better at reaching unbelievers, I'd love to get your wisdom around something like this. Thanks.
All right. Missional.
Wow.
Limited that missional is, lifetime.
I have never heard that. It's like term limits for Jesus.
Which life insurance package do you want to go with?
Yes, exactly. The one that expires 7 years in one day. Dead. That's fascinating. That's really fascinating. And all right, but first the statistic. Because you wanted me to use my quote. Every time I quote statistic, an angel gets its wings.
Yes.
There's no way to know the answer to this question.
Yeah.
I mean, there is, but it's millions of dollars. Because nobody, after a church closes, particularly a church plant closes, nobody reports that generally. I mean, you have a denomination that sort of tracks it and it's gone, but you can't get access to those records. So what we know is that after 4 years, about 68% of churches are still extant. They still exist. About half of those, about the third of the whole, are self-supporting, self-sufficient, but the other part's not. About a third have closed, a third are self-sufficient, and a third are still sort of in what we might call in mission status, where they're still working towards self-sufficiency. But as far as closure, no way to tell.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what a fascinating question. So considering I have no earthly idea, I'd like to hear your brilliant answer.
Okay. So on the first hand, you're right. It's hard to know when church plants close because that's not something anyone wants to celebrate.
Yeah. Right. It's like, hey, let me call that in and let Ed Stetzer know we closed down our church plant.
So denominations or networks resources aren't necessarily going to go into, hey, what's your job to monitor plants closing or churches closing, right? So that's a little bit difficult, but I appreciate all the stats that you did provide for us. Ed, is that from the 2008 study, the 2014 one?
I think it's in both. I think we repeated the question. So it's typically... You know, because people kept saying there was this stat going around, and I won't name who quoted the stat, but I probably should just to make them stop, that 80% of churches close or church plants fail within the first year. And that's just like crazy. It's nothing like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we did kind of repeat it and kind of showed that what actual stats look like.
Yeah. So you can go to newchurches.com and download the state of church planting in the US and also in Canada, the reports that we did there. You can just search for those or go to newchurches.com/register. But let's get to the second part of the question, which is just the whole idea of building a lifespan into a church. Now, I appreciate Peter's thinking through and asking of the question, because you look at our research and how churches, what the characteristics of churches that actually multiply in their first 5 years of existence and the evangelistic fervor that is there and just all of that is exciting and great about church plants. And it's almost like Peter's trying to see if, hey, how can we just make sure that that's always on the tip of the spear, that is always part of the culture of the church. And I don't necessarily think that you need to have a brand new church. You need to shut your church down and plant a new one in order to keep that. Because there are churches that have multiplication, you know, as a part of their culture at the tip of the spear. And even though just take a look at Hope Church, right? We did a webinar with Vance Pittman from Hope Church. They were planted 16 years ago. They planted over 55 churches since starting, right? So they have that sending culture that they have embedded in their DNA. And could they have planted 55 churches if they shut down and they started again at the end of the 7 years?
Right.
Would the momentum have continued to develop? I mean, part of it is there's so much energy that goes into starting and planting and getting things going. And if momentum is going in the right direction, things begin to snowpile, right? They begin to really go down and it's, there's so much momentum. There's so much stuff that Hope Church can do, right? That Summit Church can do. And if you didn't catch that, if you listened to that webinar it was amazing.
Yeah. First of all, I want to know how things snowpile. Is that kind of like snowballing?
I said snowball, didn't I?
You said snowpile.
Dude,
so
you know,
like, how do things snowpile? Is that a Canadian thing?
You know, I admittedly am very bad at, I'm very bad at that.
I don't know what that is, but I just don't want a snowpile.
Up, you know, the whole phrases, all that stuff. I just kind of get all mixed up there. So,
yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
Snowpiling right now.
And you know, it's funny. It's funny because my kids will sometimes repeat phrases that I've said. And my wife, Christina, is like, that's not actually a phrase.
That's awesome. She like tells the kids, has to warn the kids.
Yes. I don't know. That part of my brain does not work. So
that's okay. I don't judge you. Well, I do judge you, but I try to pretend I don't.
Yes. So, yeah. So the whole idea of a lifespan, I mean, those are, I'm thinking the momentum question, right? I'm thinking if you are intentionally making multiplication a part of your culture, right? And it's a part of, in Design to Lead, Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck, you know, they present this framework called conviction, culture, and constructs. If you have the conviction, culture, and constructs for multiplication, I don't think you have to shut down at the end of 7 years. And you even take a look at churches that are actively multiplying that do have more, they are majority unchurched, right? It's because they have that culture at the tip of their spear. So what are your thoughts, Ed?
Well, let's give him the benefit of the doubt for just a moment and say, because his question is not You know, should we? Because we're giving all the counterexamples, because I don't think you should. I mean, I think both of us are like, maybe not. But could there be a missiological opportunity here? What if it was, all right, 7 years to either multiply into two or to close down? What if you sort of created, you know, you plant a church each year, and then ultimately the daughter church? Yeah, I don't know. I think I got to think on that. I can't see a scenario where it would be fruitful to do that, but I think that his impulse, which I think you're trying to say, hey, there's other ways to live out that impulse, but I think the impulse is still good.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
And I like it.
I agree with you there, because when you look at even how just the different types of personalities there are, right? And there are many of those who love stability. I mean, most humans love stability. I don't know, even if you're entrepreneurial and you do like starting new things, there is a sense of a desire towards stability. And there are some people who say, hey, the vision to plant this church, to reach this neighborhood, I understand that's going to be uncomfortable because I need to leave what is to go to that to help create it. But there's a sense of, hey, it's planted and now we're here and now let's begin sending other people out, right? Other people out who can then begin reaching new neighborhoods. There's a lot of people who are, I mean, there are probably more people like that than there are those who want to entrepreneurially start new works on an ongoing basis. Yeah. So if you have that aspect of, hey, this is going to shut down in 7 years, I just wonder what that would do to the relationships, to the community, and how much of it will really just be, hey, we're shutting down and then we're going to start a new church and it's really just a rebrand, because all the same people are going to want to go to the same church because of community, because of relationships.
Yeah. Okay. So here's, I think, the answer, ultimately answer to his question. We think that's a great question and a terrible idea.
We think it can be executed differently, but we love it. Yeah. I agree with you. We love the impulse.
Yeah. I like it. Okay, cool.
Good deal. All right. Well, thanks again for listening in. Be sure to tune in next time as we continue to answer your questions.